You're tuned into KLCC. I'm Jason Brown. This weekend is, of course, Oregon Country Fair 2020, and it's clearly had to be reimagined in light of the precautions we're all taking to protect ourselves and each other right now. This year's fair has gone virtual, and it's an impressive feat of technology and creativity. Just earlier, I entered the virtual grounds at the main stage area and, by relative position, knew exactly where the KLCC booth is at, which, by the way, you can visit yourself when you go to the virtual Oregon Country Fair. You can do that by going to OregonCountryFair.org. Our own Tiffany Eckert produced a story about this year's virtual fair, which you can listen to at KLCC.org. In the meanwhile, right here with this program, we're taking a bit of time to feature voices and performances from past fairs. KLCC has been broadcasting live from the Oregon Country Fair since 1992, so this next hour is going to share some highlights from those broadcasts. It's a modest gesture for sure, but we hope it will warm some hearts and lift some spirits right now. To get us started, here's an excellent primer on Oregon Country Fair's history. Just last year, on the 50th anniversary, the celebration was designated an Oregon Heritage Tradition. Here's KLCC's Tiffany Eckert, who takes a walk down memory lane with an archivist, a museum curator, and an historian to reminisce on 50 years of fair.
About 9 years ago, a fellow by the name of Alan Kimball contacted the Oregon Country Fair office. He wanted to donate a film he'd made at the very first fair in 1969. The silent film was shot with a brand new Super 8 camera. The filmmaker kind of likened the fair to a gathering of peasants, so the first part of the 20-minute movie is dubbed with Baroque music as a background. Jerry Jaffe had been going to the country fair since the mid-70s. He saw the film, and he says that got him thinking.
Well, where is the history of the fair? Where is it located? So we started thinking about creating an archive.
Jaffe wrote a successful grant, and he and fair staff started reaching out for people to donate items which embody the fair experience. Faith Kresge is exhibit's curator.
The very first fair was the Oregon Renaissance Pleasure Fair, and it was held in November 1969. And it was actually held in an abandoned peach orchard off of Hocken Lane.
Some of the most treasured items in the archives are photographs of the first fair taken by Eugene resident Harry Gross. Jaffe describes a picture of three musicians playing in a meadow.
They have big smiles on their face, and there's a young child watching, and there's just a few people listening to them playing. But it's maybe a foreshadowing. You know, now, you know, the thousands of people that fill 24 stages at the fair to enjoy all kinds of music.
Hey, 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 hey. This is the band Turquoise, jamming on main stage in 2018. And yes, thousands of people enjoyed. Since the very beginning, the Oregon Country Fair has been about merrymaking. And that includes parades. Lots of them. Looming large over the archives exhibit is a huge, smiling lady.
Her name is Alia, and she is a puppet made by Jill Talese, who's one of the longtime puppet performers at the fair. She's a member of the Coyote Rising Troupe, so they're the people responsible for the very large monumental puppets, including the ones with the giant hands that kind of float above the crowd.
Around the corner at the museum stands an ornate box.
This is a piece by Carrie Johnson, and it is a fortune-telling machine called the Revolutionary Oracle. So people can spin it. They get a lucky word.
This exhibit includes examples of crafts like pottery and pine needle baskets, as well as fair paraphernalia, original posters, and even the earliest fair backstage passes. Way before wristbands, they were hand-painted bandanas. To curate, Kresge says she was grateful for the historical knowledge of others.
I'm Susie Przonski, and I've written two books about the Oregon Country Fair, documenting its history.
Her latest book is called Brigadoon of the 60s, Revelry and Kerfuffles at the Oregon Country Fair. It references the musical Brigadoon, about a village which seeks to preserve its culture by only appearing one day every 100 years.
To me, the fair seems like another kind of Brigadoon, where we preserve a certain kind of culture by meeting 3 days a year. It's quite different from the musical, but the sense of it, of a culture that reemerges or a village that comes to life just for a little while and goes away, that definitely describes the fair to a lot of us.
Something that fascinates Brzozinski is the interconnection of fair and organizations that have become key to what Eugene is today. She says the Saturday Market came out of the Craft Guild, which formed after the first fair in 1969.
At the same time, Whitebird, which separately formed, participated in the second fair in May 1970 and everyone since.
Standing amongst the Oregon Country Fair archives he helped create, Jerry Joffe reflects.
You know, the fair is 50 years old this year, and a lot of people that were involved from the beginning are no longer with us. You know, it's kind of bittersweet when you start remembering all the years. But the fair, I think, does a good job of naming things after people who have been so instrumental and so loved.
Folks could have a variety of ideas about what the Oregon Country Fair is about.
Well, let's just say that there's a fair for every person. Every person has their own fair in some ways, and what you see and what delights you is different.
Tiffany Eckert, KLCC News.
That was KLCC's Tiffany Eckert with a report from last year on Oregon Country Fair's golden anniversary. You can hear that story again, as well as everything on this show, at our website, klcc.org. And you can also check this program out by checking out the virtual Oregon Country Fair, where KLCC has a booth. Details on that are at oregoncountryfair.org. KLCC has a proud tradition of broadcasting performances and voices from the fair going back to 1992. From the archives, going back almost that far, 1993, here's a lyrical love letter to the fair read from the main stage, written by a local man and read by the voice of the Oregon Country Fair, Denny Geeler. Its themes of community and gathering together are a reminder of just how different things are right now. We're still connected, just not rubbing so many shoulders together.
This was written by Dave Stetta of Eugene, who did express a wish that he'd hoped it would actually get read on main stage and over the radio. And, well, Dave, we're going to blow your mind. Here it is. This is a person that does not work at the fair, who is just a day person that came out and had these thoughts and feelings and expressed them beautifully in words. And these are the words of Dave Stetta. The fair is a place of magic where the past and future merge together as one. The high ideals of the past and a vision of the age yet to be. We've poured our hearts, minds, and souls into these grounds with a labor of love and passion that surely comes from the purity of our hearts. Here we have given you everything we have. Here everybody is your brother and everybody is your sister. The trees are your friends and the grass is here for you. And if you really go deep, you can feel the cosmic love of the universe. Because here, we are all one. Love the fair, embrace the fair, and it will give you back everything that you put into it and more. The musicians have spent hours on their instruments. The entertainers have spent hours on their acts. The artists and craftspeople have spent hours on their arts. Fine food and drink are prepared with the greatest of care. Why? Because they love you, and they want you to have the very best of what they have to offer. So at the end of their shows, here's the commercial announcement. So at the end of their shows, please feel free to toss in a dollar or two, for they have shared their lives with you. For a day or a weekend, we are a community of people, a small society of what the future beholds. A renaissance of art and music, a renaissance of brotherhood and sisterhood, and a renaissance of peace and love. A vision of the age yet to come. So when the paths get a little crowded and the dust gets a little high, just remember, it's your participation that counts. You are here being beautiful. You are here bringing your light to others. If we rub shoulders, that's okay. We're all in one big family anyway. And as you go through the exit, don't leave the fair behind, but take it with you. Bring the fair into your daily life. Give what you have learned to others. See all as your brothers. See all as your sisters. Give your art to others. Give your music to others. Share your vision of the future with all who cross your path. For we are all children of the light, bringing in the age soon to be. So remember, love the fair and embrace the fair. The fair is a place of magic, and the fair is a place of love. Keep a small cottage for it in your heart, nurture it with care, and it will always take good care of you. David Stetta of Eugene wrote that.
The voice of the Oregon Country Fair, Denny Geeler, from the main stage, 1993. This is a special presentation from KLCC, where we're sharing some highlights of the Oregon Country Fair from our archives. Of course, a big part of the fair are all those music performances. So many stages on those beautiful grounds, striking the perfect balance between intimate and grand. From a 2018 performance at Oregon Country Fair, here is the Oakland folk trio, the Tea Sisters.
I don't want to sing about anger and hate. I don't want to sing about fear and defeat. I don't want to sing about the things I always sing about. I wish I could sing about love. I wish I could sing about love. I don't want to sing about war and greed. I don't want to sing about those we can't feed. I don't want to sing about the things I always sing about. I wish I could sing about love. I wish I could sing about love. I don't want to sing about suffering and pain. I don't want to sing for another campaign. I don't want to sing about the things I always sing about. I wish I could sing about love. I wish I could sing about love. I don't want to sing about rights and wrongs. I don't want to sing all the same old songs. But I'll sing them and sing them till there's no need to sing them. And then I can sing about love. And then I can sing about.
Believe it or not, that's a song by Chumbawamba. Some of you may remember them from such hits as Tub Thumping. Thank you.
It's not a vessel, it's a breath, and I will let it drain until there's nothing
That was the Tea Sisters from a performance at Oregon Country Fair in 2018. You're listening to a special presentation from KLCC, highlights from our archives from the Oregon Country Fair. You can hear this program again, as well as relive special moments from over the years at our website, klcc.org. You can also visit us at our virtual booth at this year's virtual Oregon Country Fair. Details on that are at oregoncountryfair.org. You're tuned in to KLCC, and this is a special presentation of highlights from our archives of performances and voices from Oregon Country Fair. You know, the fair features more than just music, food, jugglers, acrobats, and funny costumes. If you're there and looking for a shady spot for some live theater and laughs, the Morningwood Auditorium is the place for you. During pre-fair setup in 2014, KLCC's Rachel McDonald stopped by to talk with a couple of actors about the theatrical tradition of British panto.
My name's Christopher Hewson, and I'm an actor at the Morningwood Auditorium. We're doing Beauty and the Beast this year.
You actually put on a play.
Oh, yeah. I was a co-writer. We wrote it this year. It's not your Disney production. We rewrote the story. It's a family show. It's for everybody in the family, little kids. The little kids sit right up front. It's very audience interactive. It's a form called British panto. Men dressed as women, women dressed as men. We have a tap dancing horse this year called Mr. Fantastique. And it's a lot of fun.
The stage has been sort of renovated because of the additional bubble that's mm-hmm. been added on. So can you talk a little bit about what people can expect when they come here?
This year, they can expect especially comfy seating, a shady spot. Even in the blaze of the hot summer sun, it's a shady spot. We have a bunch more entrances and exits that we can play as performers.
So what part do you play?
Mac and I have played two of the four clowns. Of course, you're familiar with the clowns in the Beauty and the Beast story.
I'm Mark DeVee. I'm with the Fremont Players this year in Beauty and the Beast. I play Thor, and with my companion Cobalt, we are in love with two other comics, Petula and Prunella.
So lots of different romances.
It's about the triumph of love, and with Beauty and the Beast, the principle is it's down deep. It's what's down deep that really matters. So at the end of the play, you can get up and wander around, and you get the songs in your head. All our songs are original. We have a seven-piece band that plays along, and so all the cues, you know, if we need a rim shot, we get a rim shot, and when somebody gets stalked across the stage, the tuba goes along with it, and it's really fun. It's the best fun to play with. I've done theater all my life, and this, I think, panto is the best. It's the pure theater form. It's just
Panto. It's a British...
British panto. It's usually performed at Christmas time. It's a family show. All the little towns and villages all over England each performs panto. There's the big panto that goes on. They perform for the Queen. Panto is a very traditional Christmas British fair.
Do you have any, a quick, you know, couple of lines you might want to spout off?
Oh, my.
If music be the food of love, play on, sweet Prunella.
We all need someone that we can lean on. And if you want it, baby, well, you can lean on me. It's all original material.
We steal from the greats.
That was Mach DeVee and Christopher Hewson speaking with KLCC's Rachel McDonald at Oregon Country Fair in 2014. You'll find all sorts of creativity at Oregon Country Fair, and the event itself is a source of inspiration. Jora LaFleur is a writer and performer who has ran the Eugene Poetry Slam for over a decade. Here she is in 2014 delivering her loving tribute to Oregon Country Fair.
There are things in my everyday life that are lacking. These things include macho men in size 6 turquoise tutu, sequined and sultry. Warrior women wearing naught but art on their bosoms and bellies. Groovy grandpas cruising in leather loincloths and banana hammocks. And glorious grandmas walking upright, dignified, inside the soft embrace of 5 rainbow feather boas. There are so many things in my everyday life that are lacking. There are no ginormous bubbles that form tunnels to encase small children and wander. There are no towering puppets perpetually pausing to shake hands with strangers. There is no danger that I will be caught in the cosmic creative cacophonous chaos that comes when a pink flamingo parade and a naked mud people parade meet each other in passing. It's like the Big Bang and drag and dry dirt, y'all. It doesn't happen every day. So I praise and thank the Holy Spirit that there are times and places where people choose to meet, gather together, and greet each other with fresh eyes, drop their everyday disguises, and put on authentic costumes. I thank the universe for this place. Oregon Country Fair. Country Fair, faces, faces everywhere. Some are real, some are not. Which are which? I forgot. The way back to my tent. And I've spent 21 years out here trying to find it. Coming back over and over again, searching for that which life is missing. And every second weekend of July, as I pass beneath the dragon's watchful eyes, I know that I am here. This is it. And these are my people with your braids, beads, berets, your bare backsides. My people spinning fire, walking tight wires, juggling, getting high with and without drugs, giving away free hugs and speaking fluent gibberish. My people glowing with face paint and showing off your permanent ink. In fact, showing it all off, not giving a damn what anybody thinks. My people making smoothies in bike-powered blenders, exuding that unique trinity of sage, marijuana, and sweat. My people getting wet as friends you haven't yet met, shower you with the mystic coolness of their rose water spray bottles. My people singing F the government in a deeply soothing tone. My people making ohm circles and blueberry pancakes in the morning. My people critical mass forming, organizing, criticizing, becoming so bureaucratic that they forget it's supposed to be about the magic, and then remembering. My people trying to care for this land, use hand and heart to make a living with art, trying to heal and be healed and remember what it really means to be human. My people trying. And here I am again, trying to, reveling in the departure from an everyday life in which it is not appropriate to douse myself in glitter, sport bikini tops, flip-flops, and fairy wings out to dinner. Finally, here it is proper for me to put temporary tattoos all over my face, wear lace undergarments as outerwear, and rock Princess Leia hair like some moon-swept hippie queen. Here, where being clean and stain-free is not nearly as important as looking fabulous and having fun. Here, powered by a tower of non-stop drums, I hear the ancient echo of other times and places, traces of bazaars, festivals, ceremonies, hoedowns, rituals, collective celebrations. It is human nature, this desire for liberation from the rigid, socially sanctified order of things. See, my people know that sometimes the only way to feel sane is to get crazy. But in the ecstasy of the departure, we can imbibe ourselves hazy, for perhaps the pleasure is too potent when taken in all at once, and the marvelous moments of mayhem are too fleeting. I know I'm not the only one who wanders. Why can't it always be this way? Why can't we stay here forever and never quit eating good food and making new friends, telling our stories, and dancing, dancing, dancing until we drop? Why does it ever have to stop?
I haven't found all the answers yet, or that tent. So I'll see you back here next year and keep on soaking up the thrill until it spills over into my everyday life and there is nothing left lacking.
That was Jorah LaFleur, live at Oregon Country Fair 2014. We've got another musical performance to share. From 1999, here's beloved Seattle musician Jim Page from the Oregon Country Fair.
Well, the car's gassed up and I'm ready to roll. I got one eye open for the highway patrol. I got the other eye open for the freeway sign. 300 miles and I'm making good time. My stomach's growling, but my head's been fed. I'm going down to Eugene to see the Grateful Dead. Tape deck's blowing out a rattling sound. In a sympathetic rhythm, do the wheel go around? Sports cars eat me up half alive. This thing don't do more than 55. But I can sleep in the back, it's a roadside bed. I'm going down to Eugene to see the Grateful Dead. Well, now everybody needs a little break sometimes. Life gets too precise. So put a little twist in the old straight line and take some strange advice. Well, I'm rolling into town. I'm all eyes and ears. Look at all those people I ain't seen in years. Tripped out hipsters, rag and bone. Young neophytic tie-dye cellular telephone. Sister Selena and her Uncle Fred are going down to Eugene to see the Grateful Dead. Instrumental break. Well, now there's 40,000 people in a great big bowl. They're all rocking to the rhythm of the roll. Some are falling in love, some are counting their money. Some are spinning in circles till their eyes get funny. Oh, but isn't that just about the way they said? I'm going down to Eugene to see the Grateful Dead. I'm going out into the parking lot, I might get lost. Best place in the world to get your wires crossed. Reality shatters when you leap and shout. Some people go in and they never get out. Never been the same since my senses fled. I'm going down to Eugene to see the Grateful Dead. Well, now everybody needs a little break sometimes. Life gets too precise. So put a little twist in the old straight line and take some strange advice. Well, you can take my work, we can throw it away. I'll put a penny in a parking meter any day. Hang up the phone bill and let it fade. Landlord's gonna have to wait to get paid. I ain't got no use for your overhead. I'm going down to Eugene to see the Grateful Dead. Yeah, my stomach's growling, but my head's been fed. I'm going down to Eugene to see the Grateful Dead. Thanks a lot. This is my favorite translator in the world. This is Amy. Yes, indeed. So we get our 15 minutes out here, and the sun is shining and everything. You know, I was worried. I live up in Seattle. I was worried. I thought, oh, man, it rained for like 100 and some odd days straight there in the wintertime. I mean, people were literally going crazy. They were sleeping overnight in their own ovens just to get dry. You know what I mean? And it was out there, right? It was way out there. And then summer tried to come along, and it kept raining. It was like raining on Wednesday. Up there, it drizzled on Wednesday, and I thought, uh-oh, this does not look good. And I was waiting for some CDs, right? Like, I got this new CD. It's a live one, right? It's pretty cool, right? And I thought, well, I'm going to want to bring that thing down there. And I had to put it together myself, you know, because I'm not exactly, you know, well, I'm kind of not threadbare necessarily, but threadbare-like, you could say. So I had the CDs made in one place, and I got the jewel boxes and whatever they call them in the other place, and I printed up the booklets and stuff in somewhere else myself and cut them out with pairs of scissors and drove down here and put them together at the same time. And the weather got dry, and it ain't no lie. Isn't it wonderful to get high when the weather gets dry? This is the Oregon Country Fair. I wouldn't miss it unless, you know, I slept through it. Well, here's a little song that you might get along with, all about a natural seed. Growing wild by the side of the roadway, it's nature's a wonderful weed. Been around so long, it's hard to tell why anyone would think it's new. Love it or hate it, however you relate it, I'll leave that up to you. But isn't that righteous? And isn't that good enough? Ain't that the way it ought to be? Isn't that righteous? And isn't that good enough? Righteous is good enough for me. History's locked in a cardboard box, you know, and it's hard to take a look. With sidetrack frills and fantasies all written all over the book. Everybody tells you what to think, and they've got their reasons why. You gotta pick reality up by the scruff of the neck and look it right in the eye. And isn't that righteous? Isn't that good enough? Ain't that the way it ought to be? Isn't that righteous? And isn't that good enough? Righteous is good enough. Now the same people that are spreading the fear, the same people that scare me the most. You know, some of them look like they just as soon like to hang it from a lamppost. They talk about what it does to your brain. Well, I just have to react, because Hitler never touched the stuff, and that's an actual fact. And isn't that righteous? Isn't that good enough? Ain't that the way it ought to be? Isn't that righteous? And isn't that good enough? Righteous is good enough for me. George Washington was the father of our country, and he had a hemp plantation. Betsy Ross used it to make the flag that flew above the baby nation. They wrote their declarations on paper from that same hemp fiber press, and I don't know what they smoked when they were taking a break, but I got a pretty good guess, and isn't that righteous? Isn't that good enough? Ain't that the way it ought to be? Isn't that righteous? And isn't that good enough? Righteous is good enough for me. Now it'll calm you down when you're too uptight. You know, it just might make you smile. Use a seed oil in your engine, it'll lubricate the miles. Glaucoma and chemotherapy, they say it smooths out the track. So next time you meet a cancer patient, ask them what they think about that. And isn't that righteous? Isn't that good enough? Ain't that the way it ought to be? Isn't that righteous? Isn't that good enough? Righteous is good enough for me. I don't know why some people get so upset when you say to legalize it. They'd rather build more jails, arrest more people, and spread more crazy lies. It's like talking to a brick wall. You know, they just don't get the facts. I think they ought to try a little of that Betsy Ross. It just might help them relax. And isn't that righteous? Isn't that good enough? Ain't that the way it ought to be? Isn't that righteous? And isn't that good enough? Righteous is good enough for me. So I'll be on my way now. I guess I've taken just about enough of your time. I know there's a lot of people out there just don't like my state of mind. But I got mine and you got yours. We give what we can take. So next time I need a breather, well, I might just take a little smoke break. And isn't that righteous? Isn't that good enough? Or eat it. Ain't that the way it ought to be? I like eating it best, actually. Isn't that righteous? And isn't that good enough? Righteous is good enough for me.
That was Jim Page with a performance from Oregon Country Fair 1999, as we remember fondly highlights from KLCC's archive of broadcasts from the grand event. Of course, a stroll through the fairgrounds or a scroll through Instagram reveals a very particular and unique fashion sensibility of fair revelers. As KLCC's Brian Bull put it, you might say Oregon Country Fair is a chance to relax and let it all hang out. But while most people are fine with the standard summer attire of shorts and a t-shirt or a billowy dress with wide-brimmed hat, others are more comfortable with skimpy garments or even just a layer of paint. Here's Brian Bull from 2016 speaking with a young couple who spent most of the weekend all natural.
Emily Smith's attire is like a weather forecast, mostly clear with only a few clouds. The 20-something from Bellingham, Washington is exploring the fair topless, with a rainbow painted across her chest and strategically placed clouds painted over her breasts.
Has anyone just outright called you an exhibitionist for this attire?
No, I think the fair is about being an exhibitionist, so it wouldn't be a negative thing, you know, if people thought that.
Emily is accompanied by Connor Baker, also from Bellingham. He describes his modest outfit.
Pink underwear with a rainbow thong over it, and I have some rainbow leggings and a rainbow cape with some Batman sunglasses.
Connor admits that he was nervous at first, but has become more confident as the day has gone on. He and Emily are part of a group that are going to switch from rainbows to galaxies as the fair continues. I'll let you conjure up your own celestial images of what that getup means for Connor and Emily.
Yeah, we had the same theme. Dressing up is definitely about just expressing myself and being free and wearing kind of what my inner silly spirit wants to wear.
You're both half naked.
We are half naked.
Yes.
It's embracing the nature as well.
What was it? Was it easy to go out in public with all these throngs of people and in your half-dressed way?
I think last time I was here, there was definitely more people who were wearing very little clothing. So it was a little challenging, but I'm comfortable. I think it's fun.
But both semi-nudists say their skimpy rainbow attire is also to promote acceptance of diversity, a message laid bare in recent headlines. For KLCC News, I'm Brian Bull at the Oregon Country Fair in Veneta.
That snapshot from the fair comes from 2016. You're listening to a special presentation from KLCC, highlights from our archives from the Oregon Country Fair. You can hear this program again, as well as relive special moments from over the years, at our website, klcc.org. You can also visit us at our virtual booth at this year's Virtual Oregon Country Fair. Details on that are at oregoncountryfair.org. You're tuned in to KLCC, and this is a special presentation of highlights from our archives of performances and voices from Oregon Country Fair. Over the years, KLCC reporters have walked the paths of the fair to find stories that capture experiences at the nation's oldest event of its kind. Emery Blackwell was born with cerebral palsy and is unable to walk or do many of the things that many of us take for granted. But he's able to ride a tricycle that he custom designed for his body. It's known as M's Cosmic Limo, and with the help of a dedicated crew, he spends nights at the country fair pedaling people around. From 2014, KLCC's Tiffany Eckert has the story.
55-year-old Oregon native Emery Blackwell has spent his entire life adapting the environment to meet his needs. Born with cerebral palsy, Emery's childhood was exceptional only because he could not walk, dress, bathe, or feed himself. His family encouraged his independence by helping adapt equipment so he could play like other kids.
When I was eight, my mom and dad took me to a bike shop.
Julie Garten is Emery's longtime friend and caregiver.
And bought me an old lady's trike.
My dad bought me boots.
He took some big boots
and bolted them
onto the pedals.
And that was my first bike.
George Braddock owns the Rich Shower and Sauna, which serves thousands of fairgoers a day during Country Fair. One night, George had a dream. Emery explains.
Of a bike. With
a big chariot on the back. And I was driving it.
In 1984, Emery designed and commissioned another custom tricycle. A few years later, M's Cosmic Limo had its maiden voyage at the Oregon Country Fair. Nighttime is when staff and crews clean up and relax. It takes about 20,000 people to operate the Oregon Country Fair. Stationed at the Ritz, Emery delivers freshly cleaned and exhausted fair family workers back to their camps. Everyone who works at this event knows Emery by the sound of his limo. Ah! Ah! Ah!
M's Cosmic Limo is a sight to behold. His custom-built tricycle pulls a 500-pound cart loaded with up to three people. When M sits down in his seat, his feet are fixed to the pedals. There are bells, flamingos, lots of lights. Pedestrians make way for him when they hear his horn.
I spend night after night giving people rides at Country Fair. What's the reason? What's your goal or motivation?
All year long, people push me around.
And I jump.
And I jump.
When
I hear a loud noise. All year long. At the fair.
The
tables are turned.
I pull
people around.
And
they jump.
Thirty years later, M's Cosmic Limo is still cruising the late-night paths at the Oregon Country Fair. For KLCC News, I'm Tiffany Eckert.
That uplifting vignette was produced in 2014. As we've heard countless examples on this program, the sounds of the Oregon Country Fair are mostly invigorating. There's music to get your feet moving, spoken words to stir your soul, and vaudevillian comedy to jar your funny bone. But one musician provides a special experience for those who want to be transported away from the revelry, if even for just a few minutes.
A small boy lies on a blanketed cot. Behind him, Stephen Fondrick uses padded mallets to strike oversized metal bars circling the child, causing resonating, echoing tones. Each performance lasts just a couple minutes, though that's enough to put many listeners into a trance. Fondrick describes the unusual setup that looks like an oversized wraparound xylophone that stands at a 45-degree angle.
These are gamelan instruments built out of aircraft aluminum and particle board back in 1980. Well, to relax, and people can have some pretty powerful meditative experiences.
Gamelan music is from Indonesia, largely done with percussion instruments. Fondrick says he works with his music in a Seattle home, and people who lie down and subject themselves to what he calls a harmonic bath respond in different ways.
People can take 20 minutes to half an hour before they're ready to get up. Tears are really common. For whatever reason, it happened a few times yesterday, and just that short little session.
Here at the fair, several people who subject themselves to Fondrick's unique instruments look happily dazed or somber after his one-on-one performance. Rising slowly, they disappear serenely into the more jubilant and raucous din of the fair. For KLCC News, I'm Brian Bull at the Oregon Country Fair in Veneta.
Sounds from the Oregon Country Fair from 2016. Speaking of sounds, we're going to dig a little deeper in the KLCC audio vault with this outstanding performance. From Ashland, here's Alice DiMicelli performing at Oregon Country Fair in 1999.
All right, well, this is a song that is called The Other Side. Spinning wheel sometimes.
Thank you to Amy up here. I look out here and I see so many things. I see my family. I'm so happy to be here. It's always such an honor to play here because I kind of know like almost everybody here. No, just kidding. I don't, but I sort of do in one way or another, so I'm really glad to be here. I kind of look at us and I see we're all a bunch of survivors, you know. We're surviving, and I kind of like to take that to the next level and have us all be thriving, and I think we are here, at least for the weekend here. We're thriving, and so I'm going to sing a survival song. I just don't wanna know.
and seeing looming shadows. And in my dreams, I'm always running scared. And I feel bodies without faces. I see far off lights and you creaking on the stairs. Yeah. I can feel a big wind coming on down to blow away my reality. I don't know if I can be that strong. Won't somebody grab hold of me? Won't somebody grab hold of me? Won't somebody grab a hold of me? Yeah. 'Cause I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is. Or maybe I just don't want to know. Maybe I just don't want to know. Maybe I just don't want to know. No. No, 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 no. Cause I'm scared and alone, and I don't know what's real, and I just want to get numb, cause I can't handle how I feel. But it's times like these I know that I can't make it on my own. That's why I'm reaching out my hand, that's why I'm picking up that phone. They say that memories don't lie, so I chose to forget. Now they're gaining on me fast, but they haven't caught me yet. But all this running is killing me. All this hiding is killing me. My own means of survival is killing me. My own means of survival is killing me. My own means of survival is killing me. I could feel a big wind coming on, bound to blow away my reality. I don't know if I can be that strong. Won't somebody grab a hold of me? Won't somebody grab a hold of me? Yeah, 'cause I don't know who it is. I don't know what it is. No, I don't know what it is. Maybe I just don't want to know.
Alice DiMicelli, performing at Oregon Country Fair, 1999.
When the last rose of summer pricks my fingers, and the hot sun chills me to the bone, when I can't hear the song for the singer, and I can't tell my pillow from a stone. From a stone, from a stone.
Thanks so much for hanging out, for this good time sharing all these amazing sounds. Don't forget, Oregon Country Fair goes on this year by way of a virtual fair in the clouds, and KLCC even has a booth there. You can check all that out by going to OregonCountryFair.org. You can listen to this program again at our website, KLCC.org. Big thanks to the KLCC news team for telling such vibrant and moving stories over the years. On this show, we heard from Tiffany Eckert, who is attending virtual fair as a robot, Rachel McDonald, and Brian Bull. Big thanks to Gail Chisholm, who is KLCC's OCF booth rep and was a big help on this program. Enormous thanks to KLCC engineer extraordinaire Chris Heck, who, among other things, kindly set me up with equipment to go through the archives. I'm Jason Brown. Thanks again for listening, and hopefully we'll see you at our virtual booth this weekend and back in Bonita next year.